Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view, trying to answer the questions of why. Instead of getting right to the answers, we take the time to examine the questions themselves because, as the expression goes, sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. The show was born out of a combination of spite and the Streisand effect, thanks to someone on Facebook telling me I should just stop making posts with my scary logic to correct other people's posts with crap information. It is 2014. It is February 23rd. I didn't write that part down. Shut up. And this is episode 6, and we're going to be talking about theistic tropes this evening. Joining on tonight's roundtable through this journey are Witchy Bunny.
Hello. I'm Witchy. I'm a Jehovah's Witness, currently NFS agnostic.
Unrenowned Tech.
Hey there. I'm on the dangly bits of Southern Maryland, and I identify as atheist.
Okay. Gavin.
I'm Gavin from Albuquerque. I was born into and raised Catholic, although there's a little bit of lapsed Catholic in there as well, and still practicing.
Dallin.
Coming to you live and direct from north of the border in Calgary, Alberta. Was born and raised into a Lutheran church, although very, very loosely. Was never too big in my family. Now an atheist, a member of Center for Inquiry here in Calgary, and just continuing to explore the wonderful world of non-belief.
All right. And also joining us as two special guests, and if I'm not mistaken, making their first camera appearances. I could be wrong about that. We'll find out. First off, two of the co-hosts, two out of three of the co-hosts of The Scathing Atheist. First, No Illusions, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, man.
Okay. And also joining us tonight, even though there's no camera, is Heath Enright. And Heath, you are more than half of The Scathing Atheist. Are you ready to go ahead and throw Noah under the bus for some cheap laughs and get us lots of views on the video tonight?
I am. That's what I'm here.
Can I just say, nobody said that there was going to be a Canadian on tonight. I still have some Olympic hockey-related issues I'm working through.
I don't think we need to talk.
You know, normally I would take the Canadian stance and, you know, apologize, as most Canadians are wont to do. Tonight, I'm just going to look you guys right in the eye and go, eat it.
Dude, just take Bieber back and we'll be even.
I did see somewhere where a bet was actually made that loser keeps Beaver, so yeah, you guys just hang on to that.
Yeah, we're not
we can still revoke his green card
right there.
You know, at the closing ceremonies, if we could somehow get him out to Sochi and just leave him there, that would make everybody happy, I think.
Well, just not the said. Russians. Not the Russians.
All right. Let's get on with this all. Before we get started with tonight's show, I wanted to take this moment to especially thank Noah and Heath for basically upping our atheistic street cred by joining us on the show tonight. So, guys, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. Since we're still in the single-digit episode numbers, really, it really means a lot to us, especially considering you guys have just recently finished 52 weeks, so a full year on the air. So thank you very much. And in the spirit of atheistic reciprocity, I'd also like to hope that you up yours as well. So thank you.
Hey, thank you. You worked hard to set up that one, didn't you?
I did, as a matter of fact, and just so people understand, yes, that was a ripoff of all people, Art Carney. You don't know who Art Carney is? You're young. Congratulations. And by the way, it would appear that we have Heath on a camera, or
still image anyway.
Maybe he threw up a picture.
Did yeah, he? he's looking all like faded out, like Sybil Shepherd there.
And
if you don't know who Sybil Shepherd is, congratulations, you're really young too.
Is that fog in his room, or is it just a reflection coming off his head?
I do not know, but that's okay. All right. Anyway, let's just get right into it for this evening. We're going to be talking about tropes, theistic tropes, stuff where we're basically just sick and tired of hearing this stuff over and over and over again because it's been trotted out so many damn times that it's not even funny. The stuff where we've heard it time and time again, it's been debunked time and time again, and yet if somebody brings it up the first three, four syllables, we can just go ahead and go, wait a minute, you're going to go ahead and say blah, right? Yeah, how'd you know? So, as a matter of fact, mine is kind of a forfer because it all falls together. And I do actually have to thank or blame, as the case may be, you guys from Scathing Atheist, because it was from Thomas in the Bible that this one all came up for me. So here's where mine is. And like I said, it's kind of a two doubles because they're flip sides of the same coin. The Christians who complain that you're taking the passage of the Bible out of context while they themselves are cherry-picking passages from the Bible in order to make a point, and the Christians that then claim that you need to read the Bible to understand the passage's context, yet admit that they've not read that part of the Bible when you quiz them on it because you actually know about it because you've kind of read that part of the Bible and you already understand it. Like I said, this is because of listening to Thomas in the Bible. If you guys have not yet been listening to, I highly advise doing it when you're chopped up on monster drink because the Bible, no matter how you slice it, is just a pain in the neck to go through. So, Witchy, I'm going to start you off for whatever you want to throw on this one because, like I said, I'm sick and tired of hearing this kind of thing.
I was thinking about this today, interestingly enough, after hearing my normally non-religious mother apologize for taking the Lord's name in vain while dodging potholes, which we have a lot of over here. And I think so far my least favorite theistic trope is everything the Bible has predicted has come true, so it has to be true.
You can understand that one. Gavin, I'm going to pick it up with you next.
Well, I'm screwed. as the resident theist here. There are a lot of tropes within, you know, Christianity and sometimes Catholicism especially, but and a lot of the ones that you mentioned in particular, I have experienced firsthand, and it drives me up the freaking wall because the thing of it is that I've always kind of, and full disclosure, I have not read the Bible cover to cover, okay? I suck as a Catholic.
To be truthfully honest, I really don't think that 90-plus percent have.
I know, but just for purposes of disclosure. So so when people come to me and spout Bible verses at me like ammunition from a gun, I try not to do Bible battle with them, you know? And try and recall verses myself because the only one I know is Psalm 23, and that's it. So the majority of the time, I try to use logic to have frank discussions with people who try and throw Bible verses at me, and I found so far that it works pretty well for me.
Better off than Bill Nye would have seen. Dallin, take it over to you.
I guess the biggest one, if I was to nail down the one trope that just kills me every time I hear about it, is the one about because you're an atheist or because you don't believe in a God, you therefore cannot be a moral person. And I don't know what it is, but every time I hear that one pop up, it's right after I've heard of some law that's being passed that's religious-based, like the ones just recently about police can now refuse service to gay people citing religious conflict or some crap like that.
Yeah, I brought that one up last episode, I think.
Yeah, that is the one that just sticks in my craw. You know, how can you be moral without religion? And people like Thunderfoot, people like Aaron Raw, I could list off just about any YouTube personality out there that's doing kind of any kind of atheist movement has answered this, and yet it still keeps coming back and back and back, you know, like a bad rash or something.
Very much so. All right, Unredone Tech, we got you coming.
I think what really gets me is when you know, one finds out that after much badgering, that I finally go, listen, I don't believe in your religion. I don't believe in any religion. Just you know, stop preaching. And they tell me, oh, well, you're going to go to hell. I was like, listen, you telling me that I'm going to go to hell because I don't believe in religion is like a hippie threatening to punch me in my aura. It's not going to affect me. And besides, you know, hell is your religious, stipulation. How do you know that your savior, your Jesus, wasn't actually Satan in disguise trying to convince the whole world that he was actually a god? So by believing in your Jesus, you're actually going to hell. They usually shut at that point.
That's gotta suck.
I gotta wonder, Unrenown, when you use it, sorry to interrupt you, I just gotta know, have you had any broken noses as a result of that?
No, because I'm physically imposing.
Fair
that
enough.
Makes sense. Okay. Noah, what have you got so far?
Well, just like my Olympic hockey gold medal, the Canadian stole my answer too.
Okay. For that one, I will apologize. I will do the honest Canadian thing and apologize for that one.
No problem.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I had a couple of extras just in case. I wrote down a list.
Wait a second. As I understand it, you're supposed to be going for vanadium, as I heard it, correct?
Chromium actually is what we're going for. Vanadium is what we've got. But, you know, you were close. No, mine is, I guess I'm going to go with, so it's all an accident.
Oh,
you know, you hear this all the time, and it's, you know, it's just that they put the word just in front of something as though that makes it unimpressive. You know, they say, oh, well, so your love for your wife is just chemicals? Well, everything's just chemicals, you know, but you throw just on it to make it seem like that somehow makes it unimpressive. Whereas, you know what, a wizard breathed it into, you know, me and continues to do so. That's no more impressive or less impressive. So that whole, it's just an accident and everything that comes from that. I'll go with that one because, honestly, the context one is the one that really gets me. But, you know.
Yeah, I hear that. And unfortunately, at the moment, we're having a little bit of a problem with Heath's technology. We've had problems with Google Hangouts before, as we've seen with Unrenowned Tech. So as soon as we can get Heath back on, yes, we will see what we can do. Please remember,
I'll tell you right now, using it over the phone is perfect.
Wonderful. Google Hangouts, as nice as it is a free service, so it is a little bit on the weird side. The integration with YouTube is wonderful, but at the same time, there are certain things technologically that we just get a little bit hamstrung. So our apologies, of course, if there are any kind of technical problems that way. It's a little bit beyond our scope, but we'll see what we can do. Now, I want to kind of roundtable this one, because if there's one thing about these tropes that really bothers the hell out of me, is that not a single time did we mention Tiny Tribble. And we really need to get that out of the way, because I know full well that she's going to be listening and finally getting around to it. So, hi, little one. Yes, that's Noah right there. And you know what? It's all his fault that your Farnsworth quote didn't get used yet. So blame him.
Oh, boy.
It's funny how quickly I went from like struggling to find one of those every week to a massive stockpile to go over. It all seemed to happen in about a one-week period.
It's okay. All right, let's see if we got Heath. We got you at this point, it would seem, yes?
Yeah, I think I'm back. Do you have me again?
Yes, I do.
All right, my apologies. I was trying to get video to work, and then the blue screen of death. I got a really, really old computer. You got to, like, put your feet out the bottom stone car to start it. It's rough.
You have a double doodle.
I hate those pull starts, man. All right, so as far as to the trope for you, what have you got for us?
My favorite trope?
Or least favorite?
I'm going to go with Pascal's Wager, I think. I'm going to go with Pascal's Wager. Absolutely ridiculous one that seems a little bit intuitive, a little bit, you know, a little bit episodes. You might want to subscribe to it when you first hear it for a second until you hear seven different reasons that it's absurd and doesn't describe the God they're describing and is...
Yeah, I hear that. And please forgive me. I have to, for those of you that are kind of wondering, on the video playback, yes, I am the one that's actually managing the switching the video, so give me a couple of seconds every once in a while to make sure that I've got that down. Lucinda had chimed in and wondering, how do we join? As a matter of fact, if you give me a couple seconds, I will have the link back over on Scathing Atheist's profile. There we go, posting to the wall over there so that folks can check that out. It should be the same one. That is the event page. Like I said, I am not completely certain that it works the way it's supposed to, so please forgive me. Worst case scenario, if folks go over to YouTube and search me up under the name Shujin Triple, all one word, you should be able to find the event from over there, or G Plus under the same name. It's a long story for that name. We'll talk about that another time, I promise. Anyway, to kind of talk through this thing, like I said at the top, the whole purpose of this thing is not to get to the destination, but to really talk through why the question is, to really understand the background of it all. Because when you get to a destination, it's all well and good to get driven there, but to actually understand what went into making the road that gets you there, that's really what the whole point of it is, because there is far less that is going to piss people off that they can really argue with, because you're dealing with stuff that is simply incontrovertible. You can't get into an argument over this stuff, although I'm really hoping that Frankie wants to go ahead and do it to me. And by the way, before I completely forget, I have to get the one piece in here. By the way, Noah and Heath, thank you for the hashtag of Amish Wolverine. That's 3 weeks in a row I've added this into the show. So thank you, guys.
It actually got used last week on air. So.
Oh, yes, it did. And
like I said earlier about the trying not to laugh my ass off at work, that was a tough one to maintain my composure.
Yes. Matter of fact, Heath, if I'm not mistaken, that was all credited to you, right?
That was all him, yeah.
Amish Wolverine was just my first reaction to a Ken Ham Bill Nye poster that I saw when we started to look at that story, yeah.
The shame is that it took him another 2 weeks to come up with Leader of the X-Menonites.
Yeah,
I forgot about that one.
Wow.
But, you know, you don't have to fear his claws.
It is kind of amazing what goes through a person's mind when they first see Ken Ham. The first time I saw him was, the first time I saw his face was watching Seth Anders from The Thinking Atheist doing one of his keynotes at a convention where he did his, "My granddaddy wasn't no monkey," with Ken Ham. And, of course, he's got the picture of Ken Ham. And I'm thinking, okay, he says he's not related to apes at all. Dude, you look more like a silverback than any human I've ever seen. I'm serious. I always pictured him too with a deep Southern accent. No offense to anybody that's got the twang. When I first heard him start talking with that Australian accent, I went, "Oh, wrong voice for that face." I'm sorry.
Australian accent doesn't scream cyst. Doesn't scream reliable data, does it? No.
Generally speaking, not. Okay. So here's the piece about all of these tropes that I really want to cover. And again, those of you that might be a religious bent who are listening, please remember, we're not picking on you as an individual. That is not the point. As a matter of fact, the Scathing Atheist, as I've understood it, that is not the point of it either. The point of it is to mock all of the pieces that have been going into the stuff that you have been taught. And that is one of the big things that I've told people on many an occasion. You were taught wrong. That's the biggest piece of it all. You can be taught right. With that out of the way, the piece about all of these tropes that seems to be the biggest piece of it all to me, the most annoying, the most grating, is that so much of this seems to be from the standpoint of people basically saying, "You poor, poor, poor you. You really should just lay back, relax. Let us go ahead and take care of all of your problems for you, because you can't do it by yourself. You need us to do it for you. And nothing makes me feel more annoyed than to have people just trying to placate me, make me feel nice, make me feel better. And trust me, I've got a piece about that. I'll explain about why that's even doubly worse for me. Heath, I want to pick up with you and kind of run it kind of in reverse order. You guys have been doing this for a year now, and where have you felt it in that angle as far as to why do you think people end up using these in the first place? I mean, do you feel like it's the same area or somewhere different?
Where's the motivation to use these?
Yeah, exactly so.
And there goes the sound.
Hmm. Yeah, hold.
I think,
well, hold on.
There he goes.
There goes the video.
Oh. I've still got him over here. It might just be a matter of buffering out. Great. So we'll see how this plays out. All right. Noah, I'm going to pull it over to you for a second. What crap cable company is he working through that he's got a tin can and a string that's trying to run video?
Must be Verizon Fios.
Well, I was gonna say
I'm actually guessing it's Cablevision.
It might be Comcast.
I don't know. He's in NYC. He could have anything there. I would think that they'd have technology there. I mean, I'm coming to you from Podunk, Georgia here. He's coming from you from New York City. You would think his service would be a little better than mine.
So I'm so glad that I room with three other tech geeks. We were told by our cable company if we wanted to increase our service bandwidth, they would have to physically come out and completely rebuild the neighborhood's infrastructure to get us higher. We're as fast as we can be for a residential area.
Nice. Let's try again. Heath, one more time. We still got you?
No, I think he's toast.
No. Yeah, all right. So we're gonna have to wait and see see about getting him back.
Toast.
Yep. All right. So, like I said, running it backwards. Noah, how about for you? I mean, you've gotten who knows how many email messages, never mind notes, over on the blog site, and especially the people who complain about you left, right, and center because you're just using words. Where do you think these motivations are coming from?
I'm not going to say it's not an intellectual place, because it is. It's a justification. You know, we all want to have the intellectual justification for our beliefs, and some people want to have beliefs that can't necessarily be intellectually justified. So when they hear these things, you know, if you hear a lot of these things uncritically, if you hear Pascal's Wager, for example, or if you hear the whole, you know, all of this couldn't just be an accident trope, and you don't examine that critically, that sounds great. And I think most of them come from a very honest place, that this is convincing to them. The only time I don't get frustrated when I hear these tropes. I get frustrated when I hear them, and then I explain and I show why they're incorrect, and then I just get the next trope. But I think they generally come from an honest intellectual place for most people. I think that, you know, most people surround themselves with people who think like them and never really hear things challenged. Like, how many times have you heard the one about the tornado in the junkyard putting together the 747, you know? Yep. That sounds really impressive until somebody breaks it down for you and shows you that it's completely meaningless.
I hear that. Tech, coming over for you. How about you? Unrenown? Oh.
You lost his audio.
Second one. All right. We'll, it's going to work.
His mic still works. It's the problem.
A little bit of percussion therapy there.
I can hear you now.
Right. I hope it works now.
I can hear you guys now. What's up?
Wow, we got a Seat of Verizon commercial over here. Tech, can you hear me now?
Yes.
We need to try to figure out what what this one qualifies as, headset over IP. I'm trying to figure out how this is going to work.
Oh, no. Right.
So,
what did I miss?
Let's take it your way.
What did I miss?
Your mic was still working.
Okay, so he wants to know what did he miss. Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't know it was still on.
It's all right. What you missed was... the Earth cooled, and then the dinosaurs came, but they got too big and fat, so they died. And then what? How far back were you, like, missing stuff?
Do you see this? Do you know what this is?
Yes, I know.
You don't deserve the whole bird.
Hey, Tech, what you were saying there, you're asking Shujin to think metrically. You know, we got the metric system up here in Canada, and apparently Shujin, yeah, I got that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So trying to figure out what everybody thinks. Why do you think people end up trotting these things out time and time and time again?
My theory is that it's a lack of critical thinking.
Which, of course, is just a theory, which is a whole other one.
I can't prove it because the reason why I can't prove the theory at this point in time is because for all these immense amount of people who are doing this, I have not been able to sit there and observe their education as they go through it, but it seems to be a result caused by lack of critical thinking skills. I know that there are, in the studies that are done, there are many schools where the kids come out of high school, going into college, and they still can't write an essay format or a thesis or any or have trouble writing in cursive, period, let alone being legible print. The colleges are actually reporting this. There are people who are going into college and they're going into class, and when they're asked, you know, the basics of electricity, because maybe they're taking a physics course or something like that, they say, oh, well, you know, electricity is a mystical force created by God that surrounds us all. We have never been able to observe it, so we don't know how it works. It's like, excuse me, wait, what? What do you mean we haven't observed it? Didn't they teach this to you in elementary science in your freshman year of high school, or better yet, junior high? It was like, no, they didn't. It's like, oh, great. So now you've got colleges trying to backtrack and teach these elementary ideas. And the colleges are reporting this, that these are actually happening. And it's sad, which means that if this is happening, are the schools teaching the kids how to think? So far, all I've seen out of several schools is that they've been teaching people how to retain answers to questions, not how to find out the answer on your own, or how to even ask a question, just how to regurgitate what they want you to.
That's
lack of critical thinking skills. And we're seeing as more and more people who have critical thinking skills, they have an education, they have the ability to ask why and how and look for an answer, but not for the answer that they're looking for. They're looking for the truth. For the lot, you know, what logic dictates, they're falling away from those tropes. They're falling away from religion. They're falling away from all these, the cookie cutter molds that they were put into. They're breaking out of the box.
Okay, so for you, it sounds like then overall it comes down to it's just people have not been given the. What's a good way of putting it? The elementaries of thinking through the question, thinking critically instead of just here's the answer and just hold on to that and just be done with it.
Right, because like my son, for example, he's 8. He just turned 8 anyway. He every once in a while he'll ask me a question that has a complex answer. And what I'll do is I'll lead him down a train of thought to kind of walk them through how to of discovery. So he'll ask me how rain works, and I say, well, do you know where rain comes from? And he says, well, it comes from the sky. And I said, well, what's in the sky that drops the rain down on our heads? Oh, the clouds. Well, do you know what the clouds are made out of? No. Well, why don't we go try and figure out what clouds are made out of? And then when we know what clouds are made of, well, we know what they're made of. How does that happen? So then we go from there, and we just keep going and going and going. And it's I'm trying to take the Feynman approach, which is the more complex something is, the more interesting something is. And I'm trying to make all these questions, as simplistic as they may seem or appear, to be as interesting as possible by getting to all those little complexities and getting them interested in all the little things of how these other things tie into them. And it's working. He's starting to ask in really intelligent questions now. And but how many other children are getting that?
Not nearly as many as we'd like. All right. Dallin, I'm going to take it up for you as we're coming back. The tropes themselves, your opinion, why do you think people keep pulling them back over and over and over?
I think the cynic in me would answer by saying that the gun has run out of bullets. No, quite literally. I remember asking myself this when I first got started in my whole little, this whole journey of mine. Just so everybody knows, I am very new at agnosticism, atheism, leaning towards apostasy, all that stuff. You can tell I don't even have the buzzwords correct. but one of the questions I asked was, once you've gone through the Bible from beginning to end and you've gone out with all the arguments, you only have so many. Like, the Bible only has so many pages. When you're done with those arguments, what then? And that was my question, is what happens at the end? Well, the answer seems to be we start over at the beginning. And I think the reason we keep seeing and hearing these tropes over and over and over again ad nauseum is because they've got nothing left. There are no new religious arguments. So they have to keep it. It's the continuous rerun. It's like MASH was playing for, 40 years? 30, 40 years? You ran out of episodes, but you just kept rolling them out. You know, it's just you can't... It's just a continuous cycle, and I think even though they've been continuously debunked, we're going to keep hearing them until somehow we find a way for religion to just finally fade out.
All right. Gavin, thank you for being patient.
My pleasure.
For you.
I got Heath back, but I think we lost Noam.
So run the question by me one more time so I make sure I understand it properly. So.
Okay. The question at this point to try and kind of go through is we've gone ahead, we've talked about all of our individual tropes that we've just gotten sick and tired of and mm-hmm. such. Why do you think that these things keep coming back time and time again, even though they've been, you know, hashed out so many different times?
Because it's convenient. That's the easiest one that I can come up with anyway. And for them, I think that, for instance, if someone on the street were to come up to you and try to prove a point to you by means of spouting Bible verses, for instance, I think they do that with the hope that you being weak of mind and will somehow take what they throw at you as gospel and suddenly realize, oh my God, what have I been doing wrong this whole time? What have I been thinking so incorrectly? So I think it's convenience. And then I think it's also what Dallin said, the gun has run out of bullets and they're desperate and they're just trying to, they're basically just spitballing and hoping something sticks to the wall.
Which is really annoying after a while. Witchy, how about you?
I'm actually going to defer to Heath since he seems to be... here now. At least seem okay. to be. He's
get him before he blew the screens.
Yeah, Heath, all right, we'll try you one more time since obviously the machine just absolutely loves you right now.
Do you guys have me back? Sorry to yes. ruin the continuity here.
No, it's okay. This thing is known for its pacing be something along the lines of molasses, January, Minnesota. You might have heard of it.
Don't forget the uphill part.
So let's try it again.
All right. I think I got you guys. Send me the question one more time.
Okay. The question is, why do you think these tropes keep coming back time and time again, even though they've basically run their course as far as we can tell?
I'd say it's kind of like a bar stool pull. I'm a bartender myself. I guess I think terms. It's people dig their heels in. Whether they're right or wrong is irrelevant. But everybody wants to be able to dig thing, and this is one of the ultimate. I'm going to dig my heels in. And I've been taught since almost birth, rhythmically important for them. So. Whether or not they've been debunked 1,000 times, these aren't people who go to Snopes and check it anyway. So I think it's just a natural human reaction to if you don't have a reasonable argument, you're going to have some argument. So what's left is unreasonable arguments. They're going to exist, and people are going to keep using them. Sad but true is kind of where I'm at with it.
Very much so.
I'd also, if we have a minute, or perhaps we could talk about it perhaps later after you've gone through, but... Did any of you guys catch the Hemet Mehta's 9 atheist tropes that we should avoid?
I remember hearing you guys talk about some of them. I didn't go through it myself in particular. I think we can hit a couple of those in just a couple of moments also. But first...
Oh, we lost Heath.
Wow.
Again.
Just as I was about to introduce my lovely wife to you guys...
And thanks. Here it comes again. Lucinda, a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Might not be for too long. I'm beat. I'm going to crash in. But
no, completely understandable.
I was actually wondering if the second you came on camera, you just ended up scaring Heath away or something.
That could be.
Is there something we should know here?
There's definitely nothing you should know, no.
Nothing you want to know, put it that way. Okay.
Yeah, I like my brain where it is.
For those of you that are unaware, who are perhaps joining us for the first time, thank you for joining us, of course. We have on right now a roundtable talking about religious tropes, theistic tropes, and we now have three of the folks, well, actually at this point, 2.5, depending as to how the service is still over there for Heath. Lucinda is now joining us from Points Unknown. Thank you, Hun, for your time. As I was telling Noah a little while ago, my original intention was to hopefully get the two of them specifically and to get you for a separate item a little bit later, sometime in the near future, about being female and being non-religious in a relationship, because that tends to be a more unusual demographic. So Thank you very much for your time for tonight. We'll deal with that one another time. You can turn me down for that later.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. We'll work it out.
All right. So I'm gonna toss it on over to you for a couple of moments over, Noah.
Okay.
Since you were talking about those from Hemet, give us a quick rundown on a couple of these guys that maybe tipped your spidey sense a little bit.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure I understood the question.
Well, you mentioned about. No, it was Heath that had mentioned it about the I'm losing track because I'm, lack of caffeine right now is
gotcha. I wish I could help. I mean, I could, but I don't know where you are, so I have caffeine, but
I recommend alcohol.
All well and good. Well, the mention had been made for the tropes that atheists should just stop using and just avoid once and for all from Hemet Mehta, I believe it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. By some stretch, did you have a particular one out of that? Because I don't remember that particular...
Heath brought it up, and it's funny that he did. He probably doesn't realize that I actually wrote a piece on the blog yesterday where I came out in pretty strong disagreement with all 9 of his points, actually. All 9 of his tropes that he believes that atheists should stop saying. He made some good points. I think it was a poor way to frame it, because I think everything that he brought up is something that, in the correct context, is definitely still useful as a rhetorical device for an atheist, but that are often used out of context. Things like when we say you can't reason someone out of something that they weren't reasoned into, for example. Or when you say, one of them that he had, and I really didn't understand the point he was making on it at all, was that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And like I said, I disagreed on most everything that he had to say there. But like I said, he made some good larger points within what I was disagreeing with.
Okay, no, fair enough. Anybody from the rest of the roundtable want to touch on anything? Like, well, you know, we'll go with that one in particular because that is a favorite. That was, if I remember right, originally, if not credited specifically to Carl Sagan. And for full disclosure, my grandpa was actually in, even though it was just the back of his head and the back of his body, in Cosmos. So it's nice to be able to trot that out every once in a while to see him.
I've actually got that T-shirt.
Extraordinary Claims?
Yeah, I got it at one of the CFI meetings when George Harab was up here.
Nice. Okay, so then the question is, does anybody want to kind of touch on that a little bit? Because I've got my own piece, and being the host, I get the last word, of course.
So. Well, I think the point that Hammett was trying to make with it was that when you say that, it very often, if you just throw it out there without context, it very often seems like you're setting up a double standard. Like you're saying, my claim that there is no God is not extraordinary. Your claim is, and therefore you need to meet a higher burden of proof than I do. Now, we all understand that you can't have the burden of proof if yours is the negative claim. Or maybe I got that wrong. I don't.
No, that's right.
Okay, good. I always screw up formal logic. But the point that he was making is that it leaves people in this position where they think, well, who decides what claims are extraordinary? Now, that's an answerable question, so I don't think it's a trope that we need to necessarily avoid. But if you don't have the answer to that question, then absolutely, it does turn into an unfair double standard, at least in the minds of the person that you're debating. Now, normally, when I use this is when people bring up, some like a personal experience, or, well, my grandmother saw a ghost one time, so how can you say there are no ghosts? Are you calling my grandmother a liar? You know, as Matt Dillahunty said, if your grandmother told me she had toast this morning, I wouldn't doubt her. You know, I just take her at her word. I wouldn't need extraordinary evidence to back up that claim. But if you're saying that, you know, something that there is no scientific evidence for, you know, that I should accept this based on the secondhand account from your grandmother, that doesn't meet the burden of proof. And I think that's when it is properly employed.
I can go with – I see where you're going with, and I can kind of pretty much get behind that one. Anybody
else? It's kind of like if you are going to fire off stuff like that, you better know what it is you're talking about and know how to phrase it properly in a nutshell.
Okay. Keith, welcome back again. Since we were talking about the tropes that you were making reference to, Noah was just talking about the one about extraordinary claims, extraordinary evidence. Didn't know if you wanted to chime in on that one yourself, since, I mean, I'm going to give a lot more differentiation, a lot more time your way when you're here, because obviously, you know.
I appreciate it. You guys got me back on audio.
Yeah, somewhat, apparently.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, we've got you, but it's...
I apologize so many times over... seem to get this to work on a tablet, which apparently doesn't support Google Hangouts. The computer's like fuming and smoking, and it's, I mean, I'm getting a little bit high, but it's not. It's not what I was going for.
So I'm thinking the Scathing Atheist should probably get some more donations up so we can get Heath a new computer.
That would
just
be excellent. And you know.
You'll find that donation page right side of the homepage at scathingatheist.com.
Right on. Now, if you guys do have me back on audio, at least the burden of proof. I think it was his second atheist trope he suggested avoiding. He seemed to just be like trying to make a word play. I think Hammett Mehta in particular. He seemed to be saying that. You know, well, they're not even giving us a tiny shred of evidence for the ridiculous claim they're making. So he ended up wording it like almost rhetorically to make it seem more clever or wordplay-ish. He had to word it in a way that didn't make the argument make as much sense. I think that was just like an accident of presentation for him. I'd like to think he didn't mean exactly what he said, because that's a perfectly valid statement, and it's absolutely what one should say when presented with an absolutely ridiculous, absurd, over-the-top claim like, I don't know, the entire Bible. So,
right.
Yeah.
And for those of us that have been reading along with the guys over there, by the way, I do have to kind of congratulate you guys. You guys have got some serious stones to keep going through time and time and time and time and time again and rehashing every damned word of the damned book. And just why?
It was my fault. It was completely my fault. I told Noah once that if we were going to be talking about the Bible, we should probably read the damn thing, and we stuck to that, unfortunately.
Well, so. And the sad shame...
Hypocrisy would have been fine.
Well, now, the thing is, the shame of it is that a lot of it, in my mind, a lot of the purpose was to diffuse the contextual trope that you were talking about earlier. You know, you bring up a passage in the Bible and you say, well, what about X? And somebody says, well, you have to read that in context. Well, I can't honestly say that I have read it in context. What I've discovered is that doesn't matter because, like you were saying earlier, neither have they. Yep. Perfect example of that from the Atheist Experience the other day. They had a person call in and he was trying to make some case about the Bible being good and that being the source of morality. Of course, they brought up the Exodus passage about killing witches. And the listener didn't skip a beat. He said, well, you have to read that passage in context. And he says, well, I can give you the context. In this context, God is giving orders to Moses. One of those orders is thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now, the fact that he had the context didn't change anything at all about what this listener was saying. It didn't sway his mind a lick. He said, well, you know, I haven't read that particular passage, but I think you're still taking it out of context. Well, no, he's not. That's exactly what it says. And the context is a divine commandment from God. There is no context beyond that. But the other thing that's so insulting about it is, as though there is a context in which ordering people to kill people of a different religion would be okay. You know? So, yeah, it seems like the reading the Bible thing probably is going to have turned out to be a huge waste of time. But I don't know. The New Testament could be awesome.
I hear it's a big twist in the sequel. There's a big twist.
Four twists from what I heard, but yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler, the butler did it.
Yeah.
It's Tim Curry.
I just like to throw out some of the Bible stories to my grandmother when she starts going off and telling me about what, you know, Jesus said and what he wants us to do. You know, I'm like, yeah, but what about, you know, what about when he was talking to Moses and he said this, you know? And she just kind of gets really quiet now because I actually know what she's talking about.
Yep. So. Now, I know that I'm going to be being very unfair right about now, so tough. Since we were talking about that particular passage, Witchy Bunny, since we've got you, how does the idea that God himself has gone ahead and said that people of your ilk should just be, you know, smited and gone over with a steamroller, I'm assuming that can't be a really good thing.
You know what? If they want to throw the first stone, that's fine. I just reserved the right to defend myself with a bazooka.
Right on.
I love the way you think.
And in America, it's still legal to own a bazooka, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's well, in 32 states?
Even if it's not. If they're coming at me, I'm getting a bazooka. Something equally explosive.
Are you sure you're not sure? It says you're agnostic on the bottom. Are you positive you're not sure?
You know, I don't know, honestly.
The bazooka thing, it just sounds pretty confident on to one side. I'm just saying. Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, it could be just a simple matter that she's secretly working for the guys over there at Mythbusters and we don't know about it. So, you know, it could be that.
I'm still trying to get my hands on the cannonball through the house footage. You know, one day.
That would be rather interesting. All right. Since you guys had talked about the evidence thing, I want to throw something to you guys And we talked about this on one of the earlier shows, talking about what would be required for evidence to even have an opening bid for trying to prove the existence of a god for me. Because I'd had the idea percolating in my head for a while. And I'd come up with a couple of ideas that I thought were really good for anteing up, almost like it was poker, anteing up into the game of, here you go, here'd be the starting point. Kind of like the same way that the guys in Australia have got the $10,000 prize for trying to get into the JREF for the $1 million prize, you know, the first starting gate. You know, kind of the same way that you knocked people out in your fantasy football league originally, Noah, before you were mercilessly destroyed at the
don't
very...
Don't bring that up again.
So close.
Hey, I've moved on to being bitter about hockey now. I've given up on being bitter about fantasy football.
Yeah, you'll have to forgive the host here. Drilling nerves is a specialty of his, just so you know.
Yeah.
And the whole, now you tell me.
Shenanigans. The whole season was shenanigans. Noah and I won that season in terms of total points scored, and that, to me, should count for everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. For those of you that don't understand, you really need to listen to, just download the whole damn thing of The Scathing Atheist. Just be done with it, because, you know, they could use all those extra downloads. And a million? Really? Is that what I saw just a little while ago?
Sure. No.
Did you put out a tweet just a little while ago that said something about a million downloads or something?
No.
You know, spread the word, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you say it, maybe I won't deny it all that loud, but no.
66,000 billion, they're just numbers.
It's just numbers. Okay, so here are the four that I had run into, and I'm gonna throw these all out at you guys, and if you like them and want to use something, cool. You know, because I've not heard anybody try to come up with what would qualify. So here are the four that I wrote. The four that I wrote at work in between slicing and dicing mud pies. We'll talk about that later. Trust me, it'll make sense in a second. First one was turn the sun green. Now, yes, you could get somebody who put a giant filter in front of the sun, but we've also got Voyager out there. It could turn around and take another picture just once and just verify it. It'd be a real tough one to do, but, you know, it'd be pretty interesting. Speak to me or the rest of the world in a language never heard before that everyone understands instantly. Perhaps have a giraffe do it instead. Okay. Stop aircraft in mid-flight. All of them. Not
just for a second.
No, just have them just wait up there for a little bit. Right. And the last one was run a chemical process in reverse. Something that we implicitly understand how it works, a chemical change, just run it in reverse. Now, Witchy had also come up with something which made a hell of a lot of sense. Bring a dodo back from the dead, or any animal that we know specifically is extinct that has happened in, you know, modern history, that we know full well is not very likely cloned. Just boom, there it is. So
you know, yes. I'd like to throw in here, I'm going to set my bar a hell of a lot lower. To just ante up, to just concede that, hey, you know, I'm as certain that there is not a god as I am of any other thing. I'm as certain as that this pen would fall if I dropped it. In order for me to move off of that position, I don't need much. Show me that a church is statistically significantly less likely to be hit by a tornado than a secular building. Show me that a person who's devoutly religious is significantly less likely to die from cancer than a person who isn't. Show me that a person who is prayed for is significantly more likely to recover or recover quickly. Just give me a little bit, and I'll at least grant that it might be possible. But even when you set the bar, and this is the point that I think that Hemant was trying to make, even when you set the bar that low, it can't be met.
Right.
That's as low as you could possibly put the bar of evidence, and yet religion cannot meet that.
That's a good point. Gavin, you being the engineer of the group, you would deal a lot more with statistics and data more than probably the rest of us.
I do.
All right. From what Noah's saying at this point, that would seem to make a lot of sense to me. How do you input on that one?
Yeah, I think he pretty much nailed it. I mean, I hate to make it sound like such a short answer, but yes, he's pretty much nailed it. And as someone who also works in emergency services and disaster relief and search and rescue, I can tell you firsthand, the wildfires, the earthquakes, tornadoes, they don't give a shit which building they hit or don't hit. It's just luck of the draw and physics that determines which building falls and which one doesn't. I have seen, and to be fair, I mean,
observational weather, physics.
Exactly, and
yeah, not historical physics.
Yeah, you know. You know, monumental shit. You know.
Wow. Okay.
So, to anybody who thinks I fake this on the show, no, he actually cracks me up like that. Kind of.
I mean, I have seen instances where we've had major floods here in New Mexico from, you know, we have wildfires and then we have the rains and then the burn scars make us have crazy mudslides and floods. And I have seen, you know, weather and climate and nature is an interesting thing. It can sometimes gobsmack you in the way it interacts sometimes. But when you analyze the crap out of it, it all makes sense scientifically. It's like, well, okay, why did this building survive, but this one didn't? Actually, a best example I can think of, if we want to look at history, look at the atomic bombing of Hiroshima. Okay, that building that was right below the point of detonation is still standing today, and you have physics and equations that say and explain why it's, you know, why it didn't get obliterated. It reminds me a lot of that one episode of Avatar, The Last Airbender, with the crazy fortune teller. And Sokka asks her, you know, can you explain why rain falls from the sky or something like that? And she says, can your science do that? And he's like, yes, yes. It can.
Yeah. That was a great episode.
So, all right, Tech, I haven't hit you often enough. So let me swing it over your way, assuming that you've actually got audio still.
Tech.
It's a mighty big assumption.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Yes, not. Damn it. See, folks, like I said, Google Hangouts, for all its wonderful pieces, there are times where a desktop computer will simply screw itself to hell, and then a tablet will just work, which is just...
My Commodore 64 beat somebody.
You know,
the last time I was on one of these, Unreal Tech was actually on the show using his cell phone, and it worked better than whatever he's using right now.
Yeah, it did.
I actually got a call on my cell phone, or something like a call on my cell phone, when this thing started. I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't shut mine off because the volume was too loud.
There you go. All right, and there it is, Unreal Tech. Hi.
Let me get to a position here.
Yeah.
Plug in my cell phone.
We were just discussing the plan B.
Yeah, and that's actually going to be something we're gonna end off with in just a couple moments. So, Tech, I'm going to just don't do that. So, yeah, the whole even simple statistics, you know, I'm assuming you heard what Noah was saying before.
Yeah, I do understand statistics. And, you know, I've actually heard other people who have an atheist or agnostic background say that they believe in miracles. And what they're actually talking about is they're not talking about mystical things that happen. They're talking about the realm of probability and statistics. You know, if there is a hurricane or a tornado, statistically speaking, probability-wise, there is going to be a straw that is going to go through a window and puncture it perfectly without splintering the glass. Because it's statistically it's happened before. Statistically speaking, there are people who have gone in to an operating room and they have been brain dead for more minutes than they should have been and come back and survive the experience with less damage than they should have occurred. It's actually happened before. So there were variables that caused that, that helped them along. So now, we're finding in the quantum physics realm, quantum physics, that when we measure something, we can actually change the results. Like observing the particle versus a wave, you know, that whole thing about what the very act of measuring some particles can actually make them act like a waveform and vice versa.
Yeah, if memory serves, that one was most shown with individual photons through the double slit.
But the very act
that's part of it too, yeah.
The very act of measuring them actually changed the reaction of some of them. So I don't know if the theory was proven or not, but there was a theory that human beings are quantumly entangled with other human beings. So if our observations of our fellow man are just like the machines that measured the photons, could we actually, in the very act, our desire to have that person, say, get better, all right? They're dying from cancer, and we're by their bedside constantly. We have friends and family there, and they're all around and supporting them. Could our quantum connection with that person and our very desire for them to get better help improve their statistical chance of survival? No, that is something I would like to see. That's assuming, this is based on the assumption that we ourselves, through our own observations, rather than a machine, can change things at the quantum level. And that's something that we're exploring in physics, in quantum physics. But you have all these religious people saying, no, it's God's will. It's like, well, if it's God's will, it's not going to hurt to try, right? Quit being so negative.
And it looks like Noah and Lucinda, you guys have got something on that one.
Well, I was just going to say that was a pretty liberal interpretation of quantum physics. When you talk about people being quantumly entangled, that's, you know, I don't mean to be derogatory with it, but that's complete woo. You can't take something out of the realm of quantum physics and apply it to macro physics. But if that was true, then you would see already, like, there would already be like a statistical signature of it. People who had a lot of people around them or who had a lot of people that wanted them to get better would be statistically more likely to get better. That doesn't hold true. We would have already seen that. There would already be a statistical signature of that if it was there.
But you also have a lot of people who don't believe in things like that. They don't want to accept things like that, acting as, you know, the other side of the coin, possibly interference from other cosmic events around us. You know,
maybe. Well, but see, that now you're just entering into a special pleading.
Right. I'm not saying this is true. I'm saying it's something that should be continued to be investigated. That's all.
Well, but there's no reason to believe that it might be true. So, you know, any time that you spend investigating that is something, you know, is time that you would not be spending investigating in something that would be a lot more likely to have positive results. Before you establish that you should look into something, there has to be a mechanism, or there should be a mechanism by which, you know, it could be correct. I'm sorry, I know Heath's trying to cut in here, and I keep
cutting. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to turn it over. Heath, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to jump in with the idea that, yeah, that's something that's easy. Everyone on the prayer yet to be true would jump all that if there were even small amounts of statistics bearing out that standing next to something to get better. And in fact, I'd like to see if there's a way to like stand next to somebody and make them worse. And
if that were true, I could almost bear to stand against my ex-wife. If there was a possibility of that happening, I'd be willing to do that.
Well, like I said, you know,
I hope she never watches this.
Electronics, and it may not work with organics. That's
well,
all.
You know, we'll. I'm sure that there are some experimentations that I vaguely remember trying to influence computers from random generations. I'll have to go look that one up and see if we can pull that one out for later. So for right now, we're going to let that one go because I want to. We've got just a few more minutes in scheduled time since it was, you know, trying to work on about an hour or so to get out of here, and I want to make sure that we get done before Lucinda's batteries completely evaporate.
I'm getting there.
Since the technology thing had come up, and even though it's not exactly a trope kind of thing, I want to go ahead and hit each of you guys really quickly. And Heath, I'm starting off with you since you had mentioned the C64, which was the first computer that I had actually owned when I was a kid, as opposed to the Atari 2600 way back when. For you, over the short lifetime that you've had at this point, and I'm saying short for, I mean, all of us, let's face it, for your lifetime of technological change, what has been the most impressive thing, the most wonderful thing for you, where you look at it and you go, damn, look at this?
I bet he doesn't say Google Plus Hangout.
I think I lost you for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have me now, Heath?
It's definitely not Google Plus. Can you? Am I hearing? I think I'm hearing you again. Good.
Yes. Yes, you are.
I'm gonna go with porn ubiquity. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. It's free. It's easy. That's what the internet's for. It's in a musical, even with puppets. I mean, it's great all around, except for, you know, the kids part.
So help me, Heath, I am really disappointed in you. Absolutely and completely so. And I'll tell you why. If you're going to go ahead and mention porn and puppets all in the same breath, and you're not even going to make the fisting joke, I'm sorry. You're not getting my money this week.
Slacking over there.
I'm getting soft in my old age, clearly.
You're getting a slow clap here, Shuchin.
Is it porn-ubiquity.com or porn?
Here's the thing. We're trying to get Greta Christina to appear on the show, and if she hears this, it's not going to help.
Well, I'll try to keep this in private for a little while, at least until you get
subreddit all this time.
Oh, good Lord.
With friends like these, who needs drugs?
Yeah, I know. Listen, I want to have you at this point. Okay, that ended at the wrong point because of other people talking. I would like to have you continue through for this one specifically because, I mean, let's face it, you're here and you're giving us time and all that stuff. How about for you?
For me, when I was taking the subway all the time in New York, it was my reader. Mm. Just because, you know, you don't have to turn pages. It's nifty. You can be squeezed in anywhere and just kind of flip through a book if you want to. Honestly, I hate technology. It sucks up entirely too much of my time. Fucking Farmville and shit.
Me and Heath have been clean pretty much the whole time here. We barely cussed at all. Lucinda's the first one who really broke it. So.
My bad. No, I think the communications in technology is really the thing that amazes me the most. You know, the fact that I can talk to friends and family hundreds of thousands of miles away from me, you know, whether it be texting over on the internet or
phone
or whatever.
Does your family live hundreds of thousands of miles?
Well, I'm whatever.
You know. She's got family on the moon.
You can communicate with anybody anywhere now. I'm telling you, man, my brain is fried. I've been at work all day today. I'm going to, like, crash in a minute. But, yeah, I think the fact that you can communicate so well with so many people all over the world is incredible. It amazes me.
It makes sense. Gavin, I'm going to throw it over you at this point. Don't worry, Noah, I'll get back to you. Don't worry. You're just not nearly as cute. Gavin?
Things that, well, I always ask this. Ask me your question again because I want to make sure.
Wow. Nice.
I know.
In the lifetime that you've had so far, what item has really made you just sit back and go, wow?
Hmm.
Porn's taken.
No, it's not porn. porn is impressive, but no. The thing that probably made me go, damn, as awful as this sounds, is probably the smartphone. The best thing I've heard was, you know, if you met a cowboy from the 1800s and he came to the future, and see, Witchy knows what I'm going to say.
Yeah, because you took my fucking answer.
No, you know what? No, you say it then. I want you to say it because you can do it so much better than I can.
Oh, boy.
All right.
So here in my hand, literally in my hand, I have a device that I can carry around with me. It is portable. I can communicate with anyone on it. I can hold the entire sum knowledge of all of humanity's knowledge, look it up at any point, and I use it to look at cats.
Wow.
That's what they're really for.
Sure. Dallin, since you're one of our other techie type That's guys.
Hey, it's a living. What can I say? What has really done it for me? Well, I can honestly say I am I can't speak for everybody on the panel here tonight due to age things, but Shujin, I know you and I are very close in age.
39.
And counting, yeah, same here. But,
me too.
Okay, this is good. We were all there in the early 90s, 93, 94, when the internet sort of came out of its shell. Mm. And we saw it balloon from there into suddenly every movie had a website dedicated to it. We started seeing communities growing. We started seeing things like email becoming out of the realm of education and into everybody's personal life. I've also been very fortunate working inside of the podcasting community, not necessarily from its inception, but I've definitely been a big fan of it. I mean, this is how we're all here together now. This is what makes me say, wow, is I hate to use the term global village or shrinking earth or any of that crap.
Yeah, you can't say global village because that's actually a trademarked or copyrighted term by some modem manufacturer somewhere. They'll sue the shit out of us. Don't do that.
Well, should you got the address. If they really want to get a hold of us, you know the address.
Yes, we'll deal with that later.
Anyways, no, that's what kills me is that I've seen so many changes in how media, the production of it, the creation, all of it has switched from, you know, these large corporations down to people being able to do professional quality audio and video casts literally in their own garage or in their own closet. Yeah. That just blows me away. And it continues to every day.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Good answer.
Good for art in general. Good answer. Good for
Best
art in general.
Best answer ever. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We still got a couple people left. Tech?
I think the technology that impresses me the most, that the wow factor, is how far we have come with all our various telescopic technology. All the various wavelengths of the unobservable universe. When I say unobservable, I mean to the naked human eye and to the human ear. There's a large spectrum of both wavelengths that we just can't observe, and we have been developing these technologies to the point of where we're starting to observe the center of our galaxy. Granted, in roundabout ways, but that's all that's available to us. It didn't used to be available to us. It is now. The telescopes that we're throwing up in orbit, satellite, everything else, we're just seeing some of these most amazing things out there that before were only mathematical formulas, and now we have pictures of them. We had formulated proofs, but now we have visual evidence or audible evidence, and it's just amazing. And all this stuff, all this communications technology that we have is actually offshoots of most of those things. Our miniaturization of our technology, you know, our from are produced by efforts of trying to get more things into outer space, better electronics up there, more resistant to radiation and cosmic rays and all that fun stuff, limited space, while trying to get more bang for the buck. And it's the every time we have these tech races that involve outer space on some level, we see gigantic leaps in our technology in our homes. And it's just, it's absolutely impressive. It blows my mind. I remember, you know, when computers had RAM that was looked like a gray brick. I had the IBM PC Junior. The memory modules, 14 mega RAM, was this huge brick you had to screw into the side of the computer. I had four of them. My machine had a half mega RAM. I had the my computer was the most powerful on the block. The kids you look back at stuff like that and go, look how far we've come because of miniaturization, because of how hard it is to get those things up.
Yeah, I hear you. And unfortunately, we got a lot of fade in and out on your mic for the time being, which not a biggie, but you know, very 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 cool stuff. Noah, I'm giving you second to last shot on this one.
Okay, well, but first, I believe my lovely wife had to wave goodbye to everybody.
I'm gonna say goodnight before I fall asleep right here like this.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Very nice to see all of you guys. You're welcome.
Nice to meet you.
We'll talk to you another time.
Thank you guys. Next time longer, I promise.
Appreciate it. So that being the case, I'm going to, like I said, Noah, I'm going to give you a shout over here. And now that she doesn't have a headphone on, wow, you did well, man. You actually married up. Good job.
Couldn't agree more.
Headphone on.
I just hope you don't have that on loudspeaker.
No, I have a microphone on that. Okay, well, yeah, that was awkward.
No, it wasn't.
No, you know, going on going on Arnold's answer there, the fact that we know what a quasar is now and didn't when I was a kid, that's pretty damn cool. But I'm going to go with a technology that I, you know, obviously I don't think we've seen the coolest end of yet, but I'm going to go with 3D printing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
To me, like the possibilities that opens up are just so astronomical, especially when you start to get into the real cutting edge stuff where they're now printing, you know, like damn near viable human organs. With 3D printers, the amount of the technological leap that I see in the next 10 years, 12 years with 3D printing is, I think, going to be even more impressive than the technology leap that we saw in internet technology from, you know, say, the late 90s to the present day. So that you know, that and the fact that everybody already took all the good answers, the ubiquity of porn and whatnot, I'm going to have to go with 3D printing. Very exciting stuff there.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, and I did not realize that some of the first 3D print systems were used as early as 1984, which mm-hmm. for me was, you know, high school years, which absolutely blew my mind when I finally found out about that, because I had no clue about that.
I think the first time I saw a 3D printer video on, I think it was on YouTube, I thought it was a load of crap. I thought somebody was just spoofing or something like that. And then what happens a few months ago, I read an article about a guy stopped at an airport because he was apparently transporting some medical material that wasn't done right or something like that. And it turns out it was a 3D printed piece of trachea that had been soaked in stem cells for a transplant. And the stem cells were to help alleviate any possible rejection. And when everything was finally done, yeah, the piece was put into the patient, full recovery.
Yeah, I remember that one from a couple months ago, and that amazing.
Yep.
This one for me is a little bit tougher because there are pieces about it that are really difficult for me to really wrap my head around. I was born in March of 69, and Ed, even though I have no memory of it, I was at least alive and somewhat conscious in July of 69 for the very first landing on the moon by the human species. Now, I say it that way because I don't want to think of it in terms of my banner waving for my country or my country's space group. It was all of humanity really taking the first steps out into the ocean, kind of the way that Carl had talked about it. And yes, Carl is one of those few names in our common history where you can say Carl, you can say Cher, you can say Elton, you can say Barry, and generally speaking, people will know who you're talking about. But you can say...
That was Barry Sanders, right?
Yeah, back when he was doing the microphone stuff. Now, see, now you got me thinking of some people that should have never been on the musical end of the spectrum. Eddie Murphy comes to mind, so thank you.
But his girl did like to party all the time.
But not with me. That's the reason.
It came from an honest place.
Hey, do what you know, right?
Or who? So,
fair enough.
For me, the idea that we can, as a species, we can take all of the accumulated knowledge of even as rough as it was from Newton, from who only knows, and I'm saying it this way because I don't remember off the top of my head, from, what was it, 400, 600 years ago, and use it to almost pinpoint, the location where we can take a projectile with enough power to, I don't know if you guys have seen the video. Neil deGrasse Tyson had sent to him, a 6.5 foot tall replica of the Saturn V that sent Apollo 11 to the moon. And it was 6.5 feet tall, almost 2 meters tall, except for the very, very little bit of it that could have been maybe 3 inches tall. And he gets to take his son into his office and say, "You see this big thing that's taller than Daddy? You see that little itty-bitty piece up on the top? It took all of that underneath it to get that little bit to the moon and back." And to me, the biggest wow technology is the ability of being able to reason through all of these rough computations and basic understandings of the universe at large and all of the pieces that say this is how something works, and to say, guess what? You have water. You have air. You have the ability of maneuver. You have the ability of soft touchdown on a whole new body and still come back in one piece.
Less computer power than this. So.
Yeah, and it's positively amazing to think that the computational power that went into, granted it was a Cold War, but for landing humans on another world can't even be expressed in terms of what a Commodore 64 is, because almost nobody uses them anymore. They're relegated now from being cutting-edge computers with a tape deck, an audio cassette deck for data storage, to now being a curiosity that ham radio guys are using on their repeater systems to identify their repeating radio stations every 9.5 minutes like the FCC wants them to do, because it's got a voice synthesizer built into it. And it's now a tinker toy compared to what we have now, and there's no way of knowing how much further all of this stuff is going to go. Vertical printing with circuitry, the pushing of the envelope for computational ability, the ability to have 5 times the knowledge that Babylon could have ever dreamed of and beyond. And it's just simply there for the taking, for anybody to look it over and go, I wonder what happens if I do this. No matter what happens, it's just a freaking amazing ride. And I, for one, am looking forward to the rest of the ride. I don't want to go when all is said and done. Like the doctor said, I don't want to go. But I will try dreaming to try and see where everything is going to take me and my daughter and beyond. And I, for one, am very hopeful and very happy for it. And I'm sorry I'm going to miss a lot of it. But hey, who knows? years from now, when all of us are dust and all but forgotten, and YouTube is gone, maybe somewhere on some little grain of salt, somebody has still got our video somewhere. And if you're listening to us from 3025, thank you. Meantime, with all of that, we have definitely run our hour and just a little bit over. We're not at the 90-minute point yet, so obviously we're doing something wrong. So I want to go ahead and close it out while we've got the time. As always, thank you very much. Witchy Bunny, thank you very much for your time tonight, hon. Appreciate it.
Very welcome, Sue.
Gavin, thank you very much and very kindly.
Thank you for having me.
Unrenown Tech, thank you for putting up with the tech problems again.
Hey, mine aren't as bad as Heath's.
True enough. Dallin, thank you much, man. Dallin.
Oh, sorry. It sounded like you said Gavin again. I'm just like, is he getting senile at his old? Is 39 getting senile for him or something? Thanks a lot for having me, guys. This was a blast. Let's do it again sometime, shall we?
Yes. Next week, please remember, Dallin will not be joining us because he's on fired furlough at this point. Heath, thank you very much for putting up with it, and we'll see what we can do about the... You know what? I'll see about funding you over a couple of dollars through PayPal so you can sit over at Tim Hortons next time and use their Wi-Fi. How's that?
I was hoping to get at least some donuts out of this. Perfect. Perfect.
Hey, it's roll up the rim to win season, so you know you might win something. Or do you guys have it down there?
Oh, no, we do.
Okay, yeah.
But
I gave up giving up coffee just so I could start playing that again.
There you go. In all seriousness, Heath, seriously, really do thank you, and I really do wish you well in your endeavors out over there, man.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here. Honored to be a part of it. And Masayanara, everybody.
I was hoping he'd say that.
I kind of figured he would. Noah, also, thank you very kindly. It's been a great ride listening to you guys, and I'm, of course, looking forward to many, many more times.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. And I wanted to thank Heath as well for making my computer look like it wasn't a piece of crap. That's hard to do. Well done.
I do what I can. You got the Play School going, but I got the Commodore stuff.
Well, you know, let's be perfectly frank about all this. I mean, I'm looking through your computer, through your camera over there, Noah, and there is the keyboard and your unicycle, which fortunately does not have any special attachments onto the seat, which I'm sure Heath will explain to you what we were talking about. And the walking sticks over there, I'm actually rather impressed. You're a jack of all trades, are you?
I am. As a matter of fact, if I tilt it down a little bit more, you can see some of my old juggling toys. There's some torches there, machetes, all kind of crazy
juggling
stuff there.
Juggling, he calls it, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And we were talking about telescopes earlier, so I got to show off my telescope. Hold on, that's over here. Actually, it's Lucinda's, but it's a beauty.
Wow.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, I have to get mine fixed. Unrenowned Tech, you had something that you wanted to say, by the way?
I was saying, cool, a fellow juggler.
Oh, yes. It would seem that several of us are able to do that.
Yeah, believe it or not, that's actually how I made my living for about 8 years. People who listen to the show find it really interesting that I made a living for a long time entertaining children. I don't know why.
And keeping balls in the air.
Well, from the moment the word juggler comes out, the clock is ticking on the ball jokes.
Something tells me Heath is just trying to make up for not getting the fisting joke in earlier. I think that's
well.
What
it's also once Heath shows up, the clock is ticking on the ball jokes as well. So this is what we're getting.
I think the clock is
ends.
Just ticking in general.
You can't make up for missing a fist. No, there's stuff to do.
Come on, that was damn near sewed up the nose, man.
Well, you know what? If it turns out that way, you can always make sure that you make some kind of reference to it later. If I hear you making a couple of fisting jokes in the next two or three shows, I'll know full well that time here was well spent. How's that?
There's a Mahali joke in here somewhere, definitely.
And then people are going to be asking me, why are you laughing so hard at your computer right now? Shouldn't you be working?
Well, we'll see how it all works out. In the meantime, let's go ahead and get on out of here. Of course, all of you, thank you very much for your time and patience in watching the show. Those of you that have some ideas as to what you would like to have us cover sometime, and by us, I mean this show, who only knows who will end up showing up, Noah, Heath, and Lucinda, you guys will always have a spot available should you decide that having a hangover the next day isn't nearly as impressive as being insulted on my show, which would be wonderful because, you know, I could use all the help I can get to keep going on all this, but we'll talk about that later. You think you're needy, son of a bitch. In any case, thank you all for taking the time to watch. And like I said, if you do have comments, please by all means put them in. If you would like to send over some information for us to cover on a future show, you can send them over to me under the name shujintribble@gmail.com. Please, of course, in the subject line, do put holy crap so that I know that it's not actually crap that you're sending over to me. I'd like to thank very kindly the folks over here for Scathing Atheist and for Thomas and the Bible for a lot of inspiration that goes into this show at this point. And as always, I want to thank Frank, because were it not for Frank telling me that I'm not using Facebook the way that he thinks people should be using it, which means you shouldn't be telling people that they're doing things wrong, I wouldn't have this show today. So, Frankie...
Facebook wouldn't exist.
Well, you know what? As I said, if Frank had just not opened up his big finger typing, I wouldn't be doing this, because it all comes down to a simple matter of he told me that my telling people that they're putting out stuff that is absolutely wrong and I can prove it, that I'm better than the God of the Bible as far as to being a father is concerned, if he hadn't gone
ahead... That's a low bar.
Oh, dude, you have no idea. And when we get done, I'll kind of explain it to you, and we'll cover that on another show sometime, you know, closer to Easter when it's going to, you know, piss off more people. But in any case, thank you for joining us. We will be back again. Our next show is going to be the 2nd of March. That'll be midnight into 1 o'clock Eastern Time, U.S., and I'll be looking forward to that. There will be an off week after that, but in the meantime, take very good care of yourselves, as I've always said. And, of course, to my wonderful lady, who even 8.5 years later, I am still in love with, Matane Fujin. I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. And for all of you out there, as always, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. Until the next time we get together, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.